produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
The scriptures say in Ephesians chapter 5, to put it down to be sure I'm preaching what's right, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, he says, this is how we ought to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks. See, when you're thankful, you'll also sing. You'll have a melody always in your heart. You'll always have a song upon your lip. When you're thankful, there's something about a thankful heart and the melodies that come from a thankful heart. He said, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God the Father. So there's always melody and music that accompanies a thankful heart. But thirdly, when you're talking about a joyful church, not only are we thankful, not only are we musical, but we ought to also, brother, we ought to also be generous. When we are thankful, and when we are joyful, and when we are musical, it ought to be accompanied by generosity. Everybody say generosity. And the Lord wants to cultivate in us a heart of generosity, cultivating liberality. We want to rebuke selfishness and stinginess and miserliness. We want to rebuke, and so many people have this penny-pinching mentality when it comes to God. Amen. We shouldn't penny-pinch. Look at somebody and say, we shouldn't penny-pinch God. If it's of all people, look at them and say, we should not penny-pinch God. Amen. Look at somebody and say, is God worth a dime to you? And I almost said something. But is God worth a dime to you? Amen. That's just the tip. But if God has been overly abundantly over the top good, we ought to also have commensurate generosity because of his goodness toward us. We ought to express that by opening our hand to God. Amen, sir. And there's something that goes along with that, because when you're not generous, when you're not thankful, when you're not joyful, when you're not musical, something happens to people psychologically. People become increasingly mean. Meanness is a consequence of not having joy. Meanness is not having Thanksgiving. And I know in the Thanksgiving season, I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. I thank you, Brother Kim. You know, he's going to help me preach this morning, y'all. I'm going to hurry to get through, but listen, Thanksgiving is not Thanksgiving until thanks is given. You can't have Thanksgiving if you keep it inside of you. You got to tell God thank you. You don't thank, listen, let me just throw in a little caveat here. You don't thank the universe, because the universe is made by God. The universe is not a person or has personality. The universe is a creation. It's like going outside thanking your car for bringing you here. Your car is doing what it's supposed to. Your car is not able to receive thanks. And just as you cannot thank the universe, you must thank the one who deserves the thanks. And the one who deserves the thanks is Almighty God. Amen. Amen. He was right there. Thank you. Thank you. People would do everything to obfuscate and to obstruct from giving the rightful thanks to the right people. We thank, look at somebody and say, we thank God.
We thank God.
We don't thank you, Lord. We don't thank the disembodied, the inferior, and all of them. Manifesting all that stuff, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You can't manifest nothing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, and in whom there is no shadow of even turning. Every good gift comes from God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. You can't manifest something because you're thinking about it. It's going to come out of nowhere and just all of a sudden pop up. If you can do that, manifest me a Rolls Royce. Amen. I'm going to go get the Rolls Royce when I go to the parking lot. And I guarantee you it ain't going to be there. Amen. You cannot manifest. But anyway, meanness. Meanness is a consequence of not having joy. And when you're mean, that causes meanness, causes narrowness. And narrowness causes self-centeredness. Follow this now. Meanness causes narrowness. Narrowness causes self-centeredness. Self-centeredness causes narcissism.
Amen.
Narcissism causes pride. And pride causes all types of vanities that vaunts itself against God. And so when you're mean, you're on the very cusp of even turning away from God. Every believer ought to be some of the more kind people that you'll ever come across. There is nothing special about being, as I said before, me being mean as a junkyard dog talking about you feel the Holy Ghost. They don't even go together. Come on, talk to me somebody. Talking about you love God and you mean something, that's wrong. Something wrong with that. The Bible says of Jesus that the babies love Jesus. They wanted to jump in his lap. And Jesus picked them up and he blessed them as he did even Bryson. And you can tell people who mean babies don't ain't got nothing to do with you. Amen. Babies run from me. Amen. But Jesus, he received the babies because Jesus, even in his staunchness, even in his directness, even in his frankness, Jesus was kind. He was a kind-hearted love of the Lord. And we thank the Lord for being kind. And so we don't want to be mean. And we're here today as Christians. We're here today so that we might live by the Spirit.
Amen.
We're here this morning. Yeah, we're here this afternoon. Because we want to live. Look at somebody say, we want to live by the Spirit. And we want to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Let me say it again. We are here to live. I want you to repeat this with me. We are here to live by the Spirit. And we're here to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Yes. We're here to kill the fleshly desires that is within us. We wage war against the flesh. This morning. That's why we're here. We didn't come here just to have a good time. And it's possible if we do.
Amen.
But we come here to nail to the cross our fleshly ambitions and the fleshly desires that we have. We want to die to that, and that sin will become despicable even in our eyes. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus so that we can tell our flesh, even though I want to do this, I'm chained to Christ. And since I'm chained to Christ, and Christ died for me, by the same token, I've got to die to my fleshly desires. I must mortify the flesh. I must die to the flesh. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, there is this sin that the Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews chapter 12. The sin, the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And that's just the sin of our self-aggrandizing, our selfishness, our selfish acts. And brothers and sisters, we must die to our carnal desires. We are every day becoming increasingly holy. Now that doesn't mean that that you're going to be perfect.
Come on now.
It doesn't mean you're not going to be without error. But that does mean, as Brother Corey has said before, we don't advocate for sinless perfection. But we do advocate that even though you're not sinless, you are sinless. You can, because you are a believer, you can do what you want to do.
Amen.
I want to have a witness. I thought I would.
Amen.
You cannot do what you want to do. Brothers and sisters, we must die to this. Now, I'll be so that you'll know, and it will not take long, because this is a very simple message. This message almost took off in a different direction as I was preparing for it. And you'll probably see what I'm talking about. I'm going to be in the book of Proverbs today. And the Proverbs writer is written by the wisest man to have ever lived, that being
Solomon.
He was the Bible says that he was of such just grandiloquence that kings and queens came from around the world and from the four corners of the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon, just to hear him talk. That's what happened to the queen of Sheba. And she came and to view and to see, what is all this I've heard about you, Solomon? And the Bible says it was so grand that it took her breath away. And she said, I've heard all of these things, but the half has not been told. Solomon was that grand of a regal and that grand of a king. He was King David's son, the son of Bathsheba. And he was a successor to the throne of Israel over the throne of David. And in 1 Kings, you remember the story. 1 Kings chapter 3, that when he became king after the death of David, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And he came to him by night, and Yahweh said to him, ask what I shall give you. And the Bible says, Solomon said to the Lord, give therefore thy servant. Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. That is what we need today more than any other time, maybe, in all of human history.
Yes, sir.
People are so confused today.
Yes, sir.
And Solomon asked, he said, help me that I may have the wisdom to be able to understand the difference between good and evil. And it pleased the Lord to answer Solomon's request. God answered him by saying, long life, neither riches for thyself or life for thy enemies. You didn't ask for any of that. But you asked for understanding to discern and to judge such great people. And so the Lord gave Solomon a wise and understanding heart and gave him what he did not ask for. The Bible says Solomon was richer than any other king that had ever lived before. And he was granted honor and respect throughout all of his days. Now, this is the point that I want to make first, is that the answer to your life may be that you must ask the right question.
All right.
You must have the right request.
All right.
And when you request, don't request that God does something for somebody else.
Yes.
But request that God do something for you.
Okay.
It's not somebody else that's standing in need of prayer. Y'all remember that old song, don't you? It's not my father.
Yeah.
It's not my mother. It's not my sister. It's not my brother. But it's me, the Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And sometimes we just need to ask God, bless me. And what do I need to ask him for, Brother Marvin? I need to ask him, God, make me wise. Make me wise.
Yeah.
Oh, what a request. God, make wise, that I might be able to discern good from evil.
Yeah.
That I might be able to discern that the despicable and the debaucherous things that I wish to do, show me, oh God, how that this is counterintuitive to a good life. Show me, God, what I need to do so that I may live in this life and in the next life to come.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need wisdom. Look at somebody and say, I need wisdom. Make me wise. Make me wise. Make God, make me wise. Don't make me rich. Don't make me smart. Don't make me beautiful. That's not the request. Don't make me popular. Don't make me famous. Don't make me gifted. Don't make me fly. Don't make me dapper. Don't make me fresh. Don't even make me anointed. Just make me wise. Make me wise. Make me wise, God. Proverbs 4, chapter 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in thy all thy getting, get understanding. Hallelujah. The wise son makes the heart of his father glad. Oh, the wise woman makes her husband glad. The wise husband makes his family, his wife, and his children glad. If we had wisdom, oh, our life would be blessed beyond measure. We need wisdom from God. And I know many churches today, when churches have turned into almost a Tony Robbins seminar on how to make it and how to do all that. No, church is much more important than the Bible, certainly. Amen. This is not a John C. Maxwell presentation. This is not a TED Talk. No, but we want the wisdom of Almighty God. And it is found in the church, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, that he can break open, that we are to break open the manifold wisdom of Almighty God. Oh, that's why the church is different than the NAACP. The church is different than any community center. The church is different than the Urban League. You can learn a lot of things that it might be good, but it's only the church that can give you the eternal riches of Almighty God. And if the church is not involved in dispensing the eternal riches of God, they are abdicating what they are supposed to be doing. This is the only place that's in the world today that can actually dispense and disperse the wisdom of Almighty God. The man of God, that's why he's so intricate. And I'm not speaking this for my sake, but the man of God is so intricate in your life because he is to break the bread of life. He is to offer to you the wine of life. He is to give you fresh wine. He ought to give you fresh wind from the word of God that you will leave here, even though you feel downtrodden, even though you may have come here feeling defeated, that when you hear the man of God preach the word of God, you will say, as David, I feel like jumping over truth and jumping over walls and running through truth. I can make a little while over. Why? Because the word of God, it will convict you, true enough. The word of God will cut you, true enough. But the word of God will sew you back together. The word of God will give you strength that you didn't know you had. The word of God will enliven inside of you the spirit of God, and you'll have the word of all to keep going, because the word of God is the strength of God. And what God says, no matter what contradiction, the word of God will always stand. Amen. Some folks want to go to church and play checkers and drink coffee. No, brothers and sisters, we come here for the Lord to open up his word.
Oh, yes.
And convict us of our sin. Yes. And then show us and teach us how to come out of that. And then keep living by the power of the word of God.
Thank you, man.
Do you love the Lord here?
Yes.
I'm just asking you. I'm asking everybody. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
That's the question that we must ask. And the Lord says that if you want to be wise, you don't need the wisdom of Tony Robbins. You don't need the wisdom of John C. Maxwell. You don't want a TED Talk. You don't want a man of God to do that. But we need the wisdom of above, the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, put it down to be sure I'm preaching what's right. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And the matter of fact, it says the strength of the world is weakness.
All
right. And what it's saying is the at man's best, he can't even touch God's worst.
All right.
Are you listening to me? Man does not compare. And the wisdom of God is far more. We ought to desire the wisdom of Almighty God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. The Bible says this, and I'm hurrying to close already so I can meet my obligation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
I said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That literally means that you can't begin to even try to be wise unless you first, mother, unless you first fear God.
Amen.
And that's another aspect and another a component that is just in dire need in the church. Very few people fear God. Very few people respect God in the way that we should. And brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
All right.
I want to tell you that wisdom is a gift from God. Everybody say that with me. Wisdom is a gift from God. Wisdom comes from God. It's a gift from God. You can have knowledge. You can get education. You can get all of that from books and from schooling. But there is, it's almost an axiom that there are such things as educated fools.
All right, man.
You might know some. You might work with some. And I pray you don't live with it, but you might live with some. You got all the sense in the world, good sense, but ain't got no wisdom. The world is filled with people just like that. I don't mean in a pejorative way. I don't mean that necessarily in a disparaging but in a deprecating way. But the truth is that there are many people who have good sense, but ain't got no God sense. I remember, I'm just going to say at a point of personal privilege, our grandmother, and some of you can testify, our grandmother only had a 10th grade education, but she was a wise woman. Our grandfather, and some of you can say the same thing, I never saw my grandfather pick up a pencil one time. Didn't see him ever write his name. But he knew how to count. But he was a wise man. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. They may not have had formal education, but they had a whole lot more sense than those of us who matriculated in the halls of higher learning. Because God is the giver of real wisdom. And some people are fools. Now that's not a statement about intellect or intelligence. That is a statement of moral bankruptcy. Ethical bankruptcy. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And anybody who says that is telling you that they are morally bankrupt. It's not that they don't have enough education, but they don't have enough sense to recognize that everything that is had to come from somewhere. And you can't tell me there is no way that everything that is came by chance or by accident. That's like saying that if I just left here and found this building standing, would I believe? Would I really believe? Would you really believe if you saw this building with the lights and all the electrical currents that's going through the walls and all of that stuff and the water that's running, the plumbing, and we walk in this room and we just say, oh yeah, this just happened by accident. You know somebody built this place. I can't think of nobody here. And
And man by himself, not even talking about the universe, is vastly, thousands, millions of times more complex than a building. And we understand logically that that building had to be built by a builder.
Thank you.
So everything that's created had to be created by a creator. But everybody said the fool. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. James writes saying that he'll, the supply, the person who he gives to you is God. His supply is limitless, and he'll give it to you without scolding you.
All right.
You know how some people will give you something?
Yeah.
And why they going to get what they going to give you? I already got to do something. You made me get up and go down. Don't come back no more. Don't come back. You know, they keep talking all the money. God said, no, when you come here and ask me for wisdom, you can get it, and I won't even scold you.
All right.
Even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm not going to talk about you while I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
You know, some folks will talk about you while they give you what you need. But you will hear a whole sermon. They will talk about you when you leave, you will be crying. You don't even want it no more because they talk about you so bad. But look at something. God won't do that to you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask. That's what it says. Listen, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Well, he goes on to say, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Listen. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Brothers and sisters, all you got to do is ask. Just ask. James later says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. Because you want to heap it upon your own lust. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that the one of the reasons we don't have what we want and what we need is because simply we won't ask. How did mama say that? A closed mouth
don't get it.
You gotta open your mouth and ask the Lord for wisdom. Well, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I want us to look at you, and I'm finished. It's almost 11:30. I'm almost in. I'm finished. Man. Listen, go there. Oh, 12:30. What time is it? 10:30. Look at Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. I think there's only three verses, and they're self-explanatory. Now, if you remember what we talked about an open heart and an open hand. The curse of closed hands. Look, if you will, and we're talking about giving. Now, last few weeks ago, we talked about giving, and we told that tithing is not necessarily what we should do as believers. We are not, I told y'all to say this, we are not to tithe. We are not to tithe. Now you remember that. Now some people run with that and say, well, I'm not supposed to give. That's not at all. That's not at all what the scripture and what I'm advocating. But you should not feel obligated to give. You should not be under duress to give. Nobody should be able to shame you and manipulate you into giving. I can't hear nobody. You should not be manipulated into giving. You should not be under obligation to give. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, the other side of that same coin is God wishes to cultivate in us a generous heart. Some people will give 10% and wouldn't even feign to think about giving 11%. If you ask them to give 11%, they would almost quit the church and almost say some bad words to you. They faithfully give their tithe, but they're not generous.
And God wants a generous heart. He wants a heart that is liberal. Look at it. Proverbs chapter 11, and I'm finishing. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, 25, and 26. This is a principle. And when we read the Proverbs, Proverbs requires a different hermeneutical lens in terms of interpreting the Proverbs. Proverbs are isolated sayings that carry within them, in their simplicity, eternal profundity. They are simple sayings that carry heaven inside of them. And these principles, while they're not necessarily connected in the Proverbs per se, they are divine revelation from Almighty God. Listen to what it says. This is the principle. This is the principle about giving. It's not about 10%. It's not about tithing. It's not about being heavy-handed on that. This is it. Verse 24. There is that scattereth. Do y'all find that? Do y'all see it? Chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Let me stop right there. That verse is simply saying there are some people that seem like they give everything away, but they still have to give again. That's what it's saying. There is there that scattereth, and yet, while they give it away, God is dumping into their pail and into their basket some more to give away. And at the same time, there is that withhold. There's some people that get everything they can and hand everything they got and sit on the can and won't think about trying to give you anything. And there is that withhold is more than is meat. Holding everything back. And what happens? But it tendeth to poverty.
All right.
Some folks keep everything they got. And somehow or another, it's just as what it says in another prophet who writes that it's like having money in a bag that's filled with holes. You keep it everything, but when you dip down back in it to get something else, you ain't got near as much as you thought you had.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody in here to talk about or having to have gone through something like that. See, I ought to have a whole lot more than what I have, but when I go back to check what I got, I ain't got as much as I thought I had. I've been saving, I've been putting up, and I've been keeping everything. I ain't got time to come to church, I ain't got time to give it unto the Lord. And then when you put your hand back in that bag, it ain't near as much as you thought it was.
Yeah.
I hate to be saying personal, but I remember when I was growing up, I would go see my grandma. My grandma was fixed income. I said, grandma, I need $200. She said, okay, baby. Now, I'm making good money at this time.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked. Come on, talk to me. I said, I'm shocked. Yeah. Grandma go back in and I'm going to wish her. She wouldn't let me follow her now. She wouldn't let me follow her. She let me come so far. But she come back with a handful of money from somewhere. And she always had something to give me.
Yeah.
In the strange.
Yeah.
On a fixed income.
Uh-huh.
I'm making thousands of dollars a week. And I need to go get some money from my grandma. And she had to give me. Some things happen because we are not liberal. Let me read verse 24. We only got three verses. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Give away, and God still puts more in there.
Amen.
And then there is that withholding more than is meat, but it tended to poverty.
All right.
Look at you, William, verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The one who gives will always have to give. And he that watereth shall be watered also. Come on here, himself. That's right.
Amen.
And so here it is. Here's this same principle that the more you give, the more God gives to you.
Okay.
I want to have a witness of somebody to talk about. That it seems like I'm giving too much, but God seems like he gives back more than what you gave. The more you give, God gives right back to you. So listen to this last verse. says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Brothers and sisters, this is all the point I'm trying to make is this. We got to open our hand both to give, and when you open your hand to give, you place yourself in position to also receive.
All right.
You can receive with a closed hand.
All right.
The curse of a closed hand. This is my closing here. There's an illustration of hunters who went to the jungle, and they were trying to catch this very exotic monkey and monkeys. And this is what they did. They put berries and corn and so forth in a jar. And this is what the monkeys would do. They would go find that jar. They'd go and grab that stuff. And they would clench hold to it. But when they tried to pull their hand out, because their hand was full of the other stuff, it couldn't come out of the jar.
Yes.
And all they had to do to get free was to let go. But because they were so stingy, because they were so self-centered, they held on to the thing that they thought they had, which caused them to be entrapped by the trap that was set for them. And the only problem was they would not let go. That's my lesson to you.
All right. Amen.
Some of us are trapped simply because we won't let go. If you let go, God can bless you more than you can hold on to. God will increase you by being generous and liberal. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Brothers and sisters, that's all I'm trying to say. Be free with God. I know I've got some witnesses in here that can testify that you can't beat God's faith. No matter how you try. What the songwriter says, the more you give, the more he gives to you. Just keep on living. I'm telling you, God, it's true, God will make sure that if you let go, if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Amen. Be generous, be liberal, and the Lord will bless you. Don't be cursed by closed hands. Open your heart so that you can open your hand. So that you won't be cursed by the closed hand. And when you do it, God will feel your hand.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.